to your comment lines very quickly. They're coming in thick and fast this morning. I can see Charlie Bird's life being made into a film, so says one of our listeners. Also regarding mother and baby homes, the people responsible for the abuse and deaths are and will be well gone, so no one will be held accountable for what happened. So sad for the victims and their family. And this listener also says, great, it's eventually being done, but unfortunately due to the huge delay since when it was first uncovered in 2016, some of the family members have passed away. Failure of successive governments yet again that these homes ever existed, and the way these women and children have and are being treated, their wishes have to be a priority. Good morning. Could you ask if the carer's allowance is supposed to be frozen if the person being cared for is weeks/months in hospital at a time? That comes in from Anna. We'll look into that, Anna, as well. And my God, Salt Hill on Paddy's weekend is going to be some mess. The best supported football team and best supported hurling team arriving into Salt Hill. Avoid at all costs, says this listener. I wonder, is there a St. Patrick's Day term for Grinch? Ha ha. And also we got this, we'll have to look into that comment as well. So lots and lots of comments coming in. If you want to get your text in, do so to 086 38 33 553. You can phone Fiona on reception on 0917 700 077, and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Now though, I want to turn to my guests in studio, because I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Brian Fahey, who is the director of the Celtic Irish American Academy as well, and he's joined by two Americans, Ben Mason and also Michael McCarthy. Gentlemen, you're all very welcome into studio today. And Brian, I'll start with you. You're from Salt Hill, and you might just talk to us about the Celtic Irish American Academy and the work you've been doing over the past number of years.
And thank you for inviting us in. Our academy is an international summer school, and it runs in Galway usually for 2 weeks during the summer. It's run now for the last 8 or 9 years, and next year will be our 10th anniversary. And we focus on American high school students, and they come to Galway for 2 weeks every summer, live here with host families, and we have a lot of classes and activities that focus on Irish culture and heritage, youth empowerment, sustainability, global citizenship and wellness. And through the activities, they become embedded here for the few weeks, and it gives them a greater love of Ireland, the Irish culture, heritage, of their ancestry. And we help strengthen them, become more independent from home, and our focus on the youth, because they are the future leaders of their own country, whether it's in business, education, and in politics. And usually they start to come back. Some of them have come back to university again as they graduated from high school. And a lot of the families have started to return as well too. So it's a really good operation. A lot of good things have gone with it.
And is it exclusively for students in America who have Irish ancestry?
No, absolutely not. And what we find is that most of the kids would have third or fourth generation Irish, and some kids don't have any Irish ancestry, but they do embrace the culture. And culture is universal, and what they learn about another culture in Ireland, they can bring it back home, and it gives them a great appreciation of their own culture in America and of world culture as well too.
Definitely. Now, this usually takes place in the summer, July the 14th to 27th, in around that time.
That's right.
But you have two students out this week, a good week for it as well, leading up to St. Patrick's Day. Is this a bit of a sampler for the two?
It is, absolutely. Yeah. We have, through a mutual connection of ours, Sean Acostola. And Sean, he's based in the Catholic University of America at the moment. He's on a Fulbright scholarship over there. And Sean is a wonderful Gael. He's teaching Irish in the college, and also hurling and Gaelic football and a lot of other things. Sean is a champion of Irish culture and heritage, and he linked me with the two lads who were based in Rome for a semester. Wow. So he said, the two lads are coming over with their friends, a group of about 10. Would you show them around Galway and tell them what it's about and that? So that's how we have arrived here.
Brilliant. Let's go to them now. Ben Mason and Michael McCarthy, you're both very welcome. Ben, I might start with you. What's it been like since you've touched down in Ireland there at the weekend?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thanks for having us on again. Just to be able to see so much of this beautiful country, to get out to the rugged west in Connemara, to see Galway, to see Dublin, has just really been a treat.
What have the highlights been so far?
We had a lot of fun. We fulfilled our, you know, American tourists, what you need to do, and went to the Soar House in Dublin, had a great time there. And then yesterday took a wonderful tour with another one of Sean's friends, Michael Gibbons, of Clifton and the west of Connemara, just to see the beautiful countryside out there.
And a name like Michael McCarthy, that definitely has Irish roots in it.
I have Irish ancestry on all sides of my family, so.
What got you involved with the work that Brian and all them are doing in the Celtic Irish American Academy? What got you?
I just go to Catholic University. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with him. I'm just hurling.
Yeah, we were just lucky to be able to meet Brian this morning as well.
Yeah,
brilliant. And you do hurling. So what got you involved in hurling?
I was hanging out in my dorm, and one of my friends called me, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to go to hurling?" And I'm like, "I don't really know what that is, but I guess I'll go." And I showed up, and they handed me this stick thing, and I started playing around with it and learning how to do the basics, and I fell in love with the sport and been going to all the practices ever since.
Brilliant. And Ben, you've had great success in the hurling front.
Yes, yeah. So we were lucky to have our team with the Catholic University of America be able to win our Eastern U.S. regional championships. We're affiliated with the National Collegiate GAA, NCGAA back in the United States. And, you know, compete regionally, locally, and nationally there as well. And just have a great time doing it. It's a unique thing for us too. We're mostly people who are American and have, you know, some Irish background, even no Irish background at all, and are picking up the sport for the first time in college. Not something that they're coming in with any type of experience. You know, me or Michael are also in that boat. We, you know, came into college not even quite knowing what hurling is, and here we are now.
And are you involved in any other Irish heritage pursuits outside of hurling?
So right now, through the hurling team and through Sean as well, we've been introduced to the Ancient Order Hibernians, who are looking to set up a chapter of their organization at our school back in Washington, D.C.
And what does their work involve?
So they promote all kinds of different elements of the Irish diaspora, you know, trying to work with people who are moving into the United States from Ireland, providing social assistance to some people, doing community service work throughout the local communities that they're in. So just trying to see if they would be able to do something on campus that would get students involved in that work as well.
Mm. I've talked to plenty of Americans around this time of year in Galway throughout the years. Has Ireland lived up to your preconception of it in your head, Michael?
Honestly, it's exceeded it. I've gone to a lot of other countries in Europe expecting, big things, and I've been, a little disappointed. I go to Ireland, and I get to see, the breathtaking scenery, and I get to meet the people, and they're, they're as nice and as hospitable as people said they would be. It's exceeded my expectations.
And you were out in Connemara yesterday, Ben?
Yes, yeah. So we were able to get out, take the bus out to Clifton and meet up with Michael Gibbons, who's an archaeologist out there, mm-hmm. And had the pleasure of spending the day with him, driving around and seeing some of the beautiful sites out there, some of the, these Neolithic things that are the tombs and the monuments that are, 5,500, 6,000 years old, and it's amazing to see history that's like that. We have this notion in the United States that if it's over 200 years old, it's ancient. And you come to Europe, you come to Ireland, and completely blow that away and see just how much farther back things go here.
And I believe you're in Kylemore, among other places as well. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, wonderful. Yeah, we were able to spend the afternoon at Kylemore Abbey, walking around, seeing some of the sites there as well. And just more beautiful country out there.
And Connemara is, it's a part of Galway in Ireland, indeed, that speaks the Irish language. You haven't dabbled in a few words or anything like that, have you?
No, not yet, regretfully. Hopefully something I'll pick up in the future.
I think Pog Mahone is a very good one that people use. You seem to know what that one means, all right. You've been told about that one. Anyways, Brian, it's great to see Americans getting involved in the culture and embracing it as well. And I know you have a busy itinerary again today.
We have, John, yeah. And we have a busy itinerary, and there are quite a good number of Americans in Galway at the moment. You know, a lot have come over for St. Patrick's weekend. And Galway especially has an awful lot of connections with the United States. I mean, it's, there's not every second family has either a friend or a family living over there. So the bond is growing stronger, and it's great to have lads coming back like this and to spread the word once they go back over to Washington and back home as well too. And some of the activities we're looking at today, we're going to take a tour through medieval Galway, have a look at the our cathedrals, the universities, and take a walk through the cobblestone streets and look at the history of the tribes and that, you know. So, and to give them appreciation of the Irish language as well too, Galway being a bilingual city. Yeah. And hopefully it'll generate some more interest in them. When they go back home, they'll not only participate in the hurling club, but they might also learn the Cúpla Focal as well too.
Definitely. What's the plan for the rest of the week, gentlemen?
So some of the group are heading off to Scotland. I'm heading back to Dublin and then to Cork with some other friends. So we're going to split up and see a little bit more of Ireland and of Scotland for some people as well. And then, you know, back off to Rome.
Are you hoping to get to see any Gaelic games before you leave, or is that going to fit that into the itinerary?
I would hope so. I'm not sure if we'll have the, you know, the space, but I that would be lovely if I'd be able to see that, yeah.
Definitely. Now, Brian Fahey, the director of the Celtic Irish American Academy, if people want to get involved with you, I know it's during the summer that you bring the different students over for the programme. What's the best way of doing that and getting more information on it?
We have a website, John, so they can check it out on our website, www.CelticIrishAmericanAcademy.com.
Brilliant.
And usually we get very good publicity while we're here each summer, you know, and you can link up through our site or call us at any time as well. You know, we're always there available, or email. And this year we're booked up already for July, so
wow,
probably preparing now for the summer of 25.
Brilliant. Well, Gnairi an Bóthar Leat, Gramina Mahagiv Galair, Brian Fahey, thank you for joining us, Ben Mason and Michael McCarthy. And I do hope you enjoy the lead up to St. Patrick's weekend here in Ireland as well. Coming up next, we look at a bus route between Galway and Dublin, which has been cancelled. That's up next. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, there was consternation yesterday after the announcement that Air Coach, Ireland's leading private bus and coach operator, intends to exit the Dublin-Galway route corridor effective from April the 8th at midnight. And the termination of the 706-706X route will include the terminus point at Galway Coach Station and all intermediary stops between Galway and Dublin Airport. To discuss this further, I'm joined by a candidate in the upcoming local elections in the Ballinasloe area, Alan Harney. Alan, good morning.
Thanks for having me on, John.
You're very welcome on to the programme. What's your reaction to this announcement from Air Coach?
Well, John, this reaction or this announcement yesterday is a real hammer blow for our communities locally. As many people will know, this service provided vital connectivity for us in the west of Ireland. As well as serving Dublin, the city and the airport, this route also served Maynooth and AIT, or TUS as it's now known, in Athlone. I know that many students use this service daily and weekly to get to and back and forth to college.
Well, obviously not enough, though, because I know in their statement, and I'll just read out the statement from Air Coach, Kim Swan, their managing director, said, "It's with regret we intend to exit the Dublin to Galway route in its current form. We are committed to providing a passenger transport service into the west of Ireland and are exploring customer-focused and commercially viable opportunities to facilitate this. In the meantime, we wish to express our gratitude to our valued customers, dedicated employees and relevant stakeholders who enabled the daily functioning of this route." Now, the thing that stands out to me there is commercially viable options and opportunities. So obviously this route is not commercially viable.
Well, certainly, John, that's what Air Coach are telling us. And I think it's very disappointing that Air Coach have come out with this announcement without a key concrete plan for the future service to the west of Ireland. We know that this is the second operator to cancel a Dublin-Galway route in the last number of years, with Bus Éireann cancelling the previous Route 20 in 2021. And a real issue I have with the announcement from Air Coach yesterday is the fact that the service will cease on the 8th of April. And I would be calling on Air Coach to reconsider this, to extend the timeline for removal, to allow us to look at options to put in place an alternative service for people who use it. One option I think that we do need to look at is the PSO route, or public service obligation route, which would provide a subsidy to an operator to run this route from the National Transport Authority. And certainly this is something that I will be engaging with the Minister for Transport and the NTA directly on, because from the number of contacts I've had in the last 24 hours, there is a clear local demand for this service. And it's about public service more generally in Ballinasloe and public transport. We know that a lot of investment has gone into our local link services in recent years to improve connectivity from surrounding towns into Ballinasloe. We've had the Route 547 established, which brings people from Portumna and Lawrencetown into Ballinasloe, and the Route 546, which brings people from Castlereagh through Williamstown, Glenamaddy, Moylaw, Mount Bellew, Caltra and Ahaska into Ballinasloe. But the key part then is that we have good public service, public transport options in Ballinasloe to bring those people further afield.
At the end of the day, though, Air Coach are a private company. They have bottom lines. They have bills to pay and employees to pay as well. They need to do stuff that is commercially viable. Do government need to take a look at themselves, and your colleagues in government need to look at themselves in terms of what they're doing with public transport and public transport options? Are we too reliant on the private sector so many times?
Well, certainly, John, as I've spoken about, we have seen quite a lot of public investment through Local Link in transport services locally. However, we do need to see more, and that's where the public service obligation route comes in through the NTA. We've seen a number of other routes across the country where private operators have pulled out in recent years, being designated as PSO routes, and that has allowed public funding to go in to provide that service where there's a clear demand for it. I think this route, providing clear connectivity from Galway to Dublin through Maynooth, Athlone, Ballinasloe and the surrounding areas, has a clear demand. You know, we have a Minister for Transport who's very focused on increasing public transport options, and I think we need to make that message very clear to him that we in the west of Ireland want a proper bus service to serve our communities.
There are other options available to people, though, in terms of the train or the different other private bus operators that go between Galway and Dublin as well.
There are, John, but I think one important distinction with this route is it's serving Maynooth. I know that a lot of students locally use this service to get to college who are studying in Maynooth. None of the other services, public service transport options that are available, serve Maynooth directly. So it would force students to have to go into Dublin and then come back out to Maynooth, which is a huge inconvenience to them.
Well, if that is the big stumbling block, would it not make sense to try private operators to see would they do a student bus from the different parts of Galway to Maynooth?
Well, certainly, John, and that's why in the first case I'd be calling on Air Coach to delay the cancellation of this service from the 8th of April. We have only about 3 weeks now until that date comes. We need more time to consider the options. There are a number of options there in terms of providing this service, but we need more time to examine them and put in place the right solution to make sure that we can serve the needs of people locally.
All right, well, keep on to it and keep on to us on it as well. Alan Harney, local election candidate for Fine Gael in the Ballinasloe area, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thanks, John.
Now, though, I want to move on altogether, because we have a lovely event that's taking place indeed on Friday night in the Turlochmore area. And a great of Dublin GEA is joining us right now to discuss that further. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Dr. Noel McCaffrey. Noel, good morning.
Good morning.
You're very welcome onto the programme today, Noel. You're hosting a public lecture on exercise and healthy ageing in Turlochmore this Friday.
Yes, and thank you very much for giving me a chance to explain it. So what I do is clinical exercise, which means the application of physical activity to treating and preventing long-term medical problems. And what I'm talking about on Friday night is the role of exercise in aging in a healthy way for people who are well, but equally for people who are not well, who are struggling with the burden of a long-term medical problem of any sort. And we're running our program, the XWELL program, which is a program for exercise in community settings for people with all sorts of long-term illnesses. It's ongoing in Turlochmore and has been for since the middle of last year, and it's just been a tremendous success. It's a fantastic program, and it's just been embraced by the local people in a huge way and by the local GPs, and we have big numbers attending twice a week there. And what's often of interest is for people to hear a bit about, well, what is it that people who have medical problems can safely do, and what are the benefits? And that's what I'll be talking about on Friday. Now, it applies equally to people who don't yet have illnesses, because one of the great benefits of exercise as a lifestyle is that it reduces the risk of getting lots of these illnesses, like diabetes, like heart disease. And in a funny way, not only does exercise prevent them, but if you get them, the first line of treatment should also be exercise. So it applies to everybody. And I'll be sharing some evidence about the role of exercise in many different illnesses. So I'm hoping we'll get a good crowd, and we've big interest in this already. So it's on at 8:30 on Thursday night in Turlochmore GA Club, and if anybody's interested, we'd just like them to register, because there could be a big crowd at it.
And they can register at xwell.ie. You are the CEO and founder of XWELL Medical, and you've done loads of work over the past 20 years or so in terms of this whole area of community-based clinical exercise programs for people living with the burden of a chronic illness. I know you've touched on many organizations, including the Irish Wheelchair Association. It's important work you do.
Yeah, it is. It's really important work. And the thing about it is that it's simple. Like, it's not expensive. We're not for profit, but we have to charge a little bit to sort of cover our costs. But it's the most effective intervention for healthy aging that anybody can undertake. And that's now well established. No matter what age, no matter what the illness, no matter how long you've had it, or if you had no illness. So this is common sense, bread and butter, healthy lifestyle, healthy aging, and the social bit of it, getting together in group settings, particularly for people who are living on their own and who are struggling to be mobile because of their illness, to get them out of the house, meeting other people. The social bit is almost as important as the physical bit. It is, and the other thing about it, John, is that we measure the impact. So there's no point sort of claiming something is good for you unless you have some evidence for it. So our whole program is based on three things. It's based on the exercise, and the exercise content that people need for healthy aging is the same for everybody, almost no matter what they've got. And there's three elements to it. The first is cardiovascular, aerobic type exercise, which is good for your heart and lungs. That's the getting breathless type exercise, walking, jogging, swimming, that sort of stuff. Or, you know, aerobic type exercise. The second element is strength work, which is terribly important, because if your strength falls and falls, you know, more pressure comes on your bones and joints, and that's not good. And the third element is balance. And balance is great for improving what's called your core strength. And if your core strength improves as you're pushing on a little bit, your risk of falling is greatly reduced. And that is incredibly important. So those are the three elements that anybody exercising should be building into their week, whether it's in a group setting or not. But the big, big advantage of a group class setting is that it adds in an incredibly enriching social stimulus. And that is so important.
I know government have been moving under their Sláinte Care strategy to chronic illness management in community settings. And you've been working closely with them as a resource and support as well.
Yeah, we have had great support from the HSE in many places. So they support, they fund in some of our locations. We're in 32 centres now. We have nearly 5,000 participant visits every week. And we're making great progress with the HSE in some parts of Dublin and in the Midlands. We're hoping to develop a close relationship with the HSE in Galway, in CHO1, which is now, you know, the regional health areas are taking over from the old CHOs. But it requires just building confidence, demonstrating our ability to deliver it, and demonstrating impact, which we're doing in a routine way. So I'm hopeful that in the coming years, the HSE will be partnering with us, or us with them. And we see ourselves really as being a resource that can offer a bit of extra capacity to the GAs, or sorry, to the HSE's excellent services, but also a safe exit pathway from them. When somebody has completed an excellent program in one of the integrated care programs for older persons or the chronic disease hubs, then ideally they will proceed on to doing independent exercise after that. But many people don't have the confidence to do that. And that is where we fit in, where we would provide, you know, a safe and supervised environment where they can transition from the HSE services through ours, and then hopefully, if they want to, on to independent exercise. Mm-hmm. And one of the huge challenges with all of this is to encourage people to be exercising independently at home, as well as doing whatever structured program they're attending, because the reality is that most people at some stage will stop attending those programs. And it's a real pity if at that stage they fall off the wagon because they haven't acquired the skills of doing exercise independently. And we're hoping to contribute to that as well, sort of in parallel, that while they're doing their classes with us, they will also be getting out walking or whatever else, you know, to keep up that exercise independently also.
Absolutely. Now, it's a big weekend in GEA as well, Noel, and I know that all eyes will be on Pearce Stadium. Are you looking forward to the game on Saturday?
I am. I'm hoping to be at it.
You have some family involvement as well?
Well, I'm not sure if Jack will be playing this weekend or not. I'm not sure, but he's back training after a minor injury, so he's, I think, available for selection, the way they put it.
Brilliant.
And looking forward to it. Yeah, it should be a good game. It should be a really good game.
And you would
both teams are seem to be in good form at the moment.
You would have had some titanic battles with Galway during your playing days as well, Noel.
Well, in my days, now that's, you're digging way back into the last century here. I played in the mid 80s, and I wasn't involved in the 83 team in that. The Brian Talty, Brian Mullins, all that Kieran Duff, that team. I played with Kieran and Brian later on, but I wasn't involved in that
saga.
Fantastic occasion. I played against Galway several times, and I have great memories of Galway played such a fantastic style of football. It's such a traditional kicking game over the years, and it's something that when they're in full flow, they're just fantastic at it. Although the Dubs seem to be hitting form at the moment.
They do.
And both teams are nicely placed now. Nicely placed.
What's your prediction?
I have a feeling Dublin may do it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Dr. Noel McCaffrey, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. And that public lecture on exercise and healthy aging, it takes place on Friday, the 15th of March at 8:30 in Turlough Moor GAA Club. Admission is free and register at xwell.ie. Dr. Noel McCaffrey, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Now, still to come on the programme today, we have our Cheltenham preview with George McDonough and also the team from Boyle Sport. And we have a lovely one coming up next, a play called The Prodigal, which is being shown on the weekend of the Galway-London game in London. That's up next. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Andrew Carney of Toom, because Prodigal is to be shown in London on the weekend of the Galway game, with proceeds going to stamp out suicide. And Andrew joins me on the line now. Andrew, good morning.
Morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Talk to us about the play, first of all, Prodigal, Andrew, written by yourself, and you also star in it as well.
Yeah, I've had a long involvement with drama, John, mainly as an actor, you know, amateur actor, really. But I've had an interest in writing as well. So I wrote the play about 7 or 8 years ago now at this point. It's a father-son, a very Irish trope, we'll say, the father-son relationship, but it tackles a number of themes around, you know, familial discord, alcohol abuse, we'll say, and then, you know, the thorny subject of suicide and mental health, which, of course, is more topical now than ever, through an unseen character on stage. A brother has been lost, a father and son who were estranged, haven't spoken in a while, they meet at the wake and they thrash out their differences. It's a one act. It's over 60 minutes and they eventually reunite. But I was looking to tackle teams. It's a lengthy one act. So I first performed it in 2018. Amigo Productions in Galway took it on in 2017, gave it an airing to raise awareness, really, and initially raise some funds for Pieta House. But, you know, we've just had a great run with it now. It's kept going, and we've done it over a number of years at this point. But we're linking up with Colin Farrell now. Colin Farrell he's been known in Tuam Hazard. He has Stamp Out Suicide in England. It's a nationwide counselling service. And he does great work over there. We're friends anyway, and we've just been on a bit of a run. We went to Manchester, Warrington, Liverpool last year, but London now is our next hit, and we're doing it in two venues over there: the famous Frosties in Harrow, and the Clatter Ring in Hendon. And we're raising funds for Stamp Out Suicide, and we've already raised a substantial amount. Colm and Alan and Finbar have raised a substantial amount through pre-sales tables. But it's the weekend of the Galway game. The Galway game is on in the 6th, Galway versus London. We're in Frosties on the 4th, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And we're in the Clatter Ring 8 o'clock again on Friday. And the Galway game is on Saturday. So a bit of support maybe from Tuam and Galway people would be fantastic as well.
Absolutely, and there is huge Tuam involvement, as you've mentioned there. I think it must be nice for you as well, as someone who's more used to the acting, to have written this and get the chance to put what you've wrote to life as well.
Yeah, it is, John. Yeah, I had a stab at writing over the years with limited success, though. I tried 3 or 4. I wouldn't consider myself a writer at all. I'm just an actor who dabbles in a bit of writing. But Prodigal luckily has worked, and mainly down to my co-star, Tom Carney, a local actor here in Tuam. Phenomenal actor. Anybody who's seen him on stage or worked with him would know that. He plays the dad. So, you know, the two of us have really enjoyed it. We're good pals anyway. We've become very close. And we're on automatic at this stage. We don't have a director. We just rehearse. We do full run-throughs. And we've really bought into it. So, yeah, it's very satisfying, especially through COVID as well. We had 2.5 years there where we didn't do it. And I think COVID has made us appreciate this more than ever. For a lot of people, I suppose, getting back to hobbies and interests, you have a renewed value on it now and embrace it. But this has been a great journey, and we've been in London before, we were in Wimbledon, but this is bigger for us now because we're raising funds for Stamp Out Suicide. And Colm has walked the length and breadth of Britain and Ireland. A lot of people would be aware of that. He's a great character, and he is very passionate. He's so well organized as well. He could be a theatre producer. Finbar Holding has a great ship there in the Clatter Ring. He's been running that for 30 years, and he's raised money himself in the past, Finbar, for motor neuron disease and Alzheimer's. And Frosty, Alan Monaghan, and his wife Liz have a fantastic pub there in Harrow, very popular with locals, and Tuam people who go over and visit. So we're really looking forward to this now. And we have a show in Tuam. I need to mention this as well, the Abbey Tavern. We've been well supported in Tuam, but we're on there March 21st, which is Thursday of next week. We have a show there. So that's to get us ready for London as much as possible. But we're really looking forward to all of this. But raising funds for SOS is the key, really.
Mm. Now, you do touch on those poignant themes in the play itself, The Prodigal and Suicide. Is it very difficult to go to that place while acting on stage?
Yeah, it is. We have to go there. You know, even last night, Tom and I were rehearsing, and we some nights were more emotional about it than others. But we have to go there. Yeah, and Suicide, I think, has touched everybody. I don't think there's a person in Ireland or a family that hasn't been affected by it. Personally speaking, you know, I'm a secondary school teacher. I was inspired to write the play by the fact that I sadly had two former students in separate schools take their own lives within weeks of each other. Now, thankfully, that's been a rarity in my career. But it was devastating at the time. And that inspired me to do it because, as we know in Ireland, I believe anyway, it's almost at epidemic proportions, really. It's a major, major issue. And the devastation can only be measured by the people who have suffered directly, or, you know, friends, family, etc. So I was inspired to write it for that reason, but I'm glad that it has raised awareness, and it might look, there's the danger that it can trigger people too. We're aware of that, but just to get people thinking and talking, we've had that experience over the last few years, so that has been more than gratifying for us.
Absolutely. Now, it's for a great cause, as you mentioned there, Stamp Out Suicide. And how are tickets priced in that?
Yeah, tickets. We're looking at €10 in Ireland, and we're looking at £10 in England. But a number of tables have been sold in the Clatter Ring at a bigger price than that now, for charity, really, for SOS. But we take donations as well, even if people couldn't make it. Now, in terms of contacting for that end, Finbar Holy and the Clatter Ring and Alan Monaghan, Colin Farrell, they're available on Facebook. They're my own Facebook page. I have details up there as well with UK contact numbers. But there will be tickets on the door on the night, you know, and the money does go to SOS. So whether it's €10 in Ireland or £10 in England, I think you can be assured that, and hopefully we'll entertain you, but it will be going to a very good cause there.
Definitely. Now, I must say, if any of our listeners are affected by anything that we're discussing today and this morning on the programme, you can go on to Arts and Sir Pieta House as well. But Andrew Carney, the writer and indeed actor in this play, The Prodigal, which is coming to London to two venues in Harrow on April the 4th and 5th. Thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thanks so much, John. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, though, I want to move on because we're going to look at our Cheltenham preview on day two of the Cheltenham Festival. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by George McDonough, our racing correspondent. George, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And we'll be joined very shortly by Brian O'Keefe of Boyle Sports as well. But George, just to have a quick review and summation of yesterday, a great day for the Irish horse racing enthusiasts.
Fantastic day, fantastic. Those people who follow the machine that is the Clough Sutton maestro, Willie Mullins. I know one man from the Gort area, Brendan Spellman, a great devotee of the Willie Mullins stable and a good personal friend, was certainly celebrating yesterday. He had a great day. Taking the champion hurdle with State Man was certainly a wonderful success for the stable, and Lassie's Mouth really stamping her authority on the mare's hurdle. It was a wonderful day, and of course they also took the Arkell Chase with Gaelic Warrior, the horse who has divided so many opinions in Ireland about his jumping right hand and so on and so forth. It was a great day for them, most definitely. And Rachel Blackmore and Emmett Mullins also joined in the fun.
Absolutely. How are things looking now on day two?
Day two is Champion Chase Day. Big, big breaking news. Two big pieces of breaking news, John, in the Cheltenham scene this morning, that following a course inspection, the cross-country race has been abandoned. They're not even going to reschedule it.
Wow.
That was the race that a lot of yesterday's heroes were actually due to contest. That has been abandoned. That has necessitated in racing being the first number of races moved back 15 minutes. And also the news that Nicky Henderson was withdrawing John Bonn from the Champion Chase. There's been a massive cloud over the Seven Barrows yard of Nicky Henderson for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Of course, Constitution Hill went west 10 days ago. And now John Bonn has been withdrawn from the Champion Chase. And there will be, he also has withdrawn a couple of runners in the Coral Cup. And he has said that there will be further withdrawals tomorrow and the day after. His horse is just Arden Rice, that would be pulled up yesterday. The first horse beaten in the opening race was actually Jericho de Robinet, the Henderson's Fancy in the Novices Hurdle. It opened the contest, opened the meeting yesterday, and that horse was a spent force going out. He had to be chivied along after 10 yards to get into a position, and as soon as they turned to go out to the country, which is after two hurdles, that horse was already beaten, and it just was a lifeless display. Unfortunately, there is an illness in the Seven Barrows yard. He hasn't been able to pinpoint it, and he's withdrawn a lot of his fancied horses.
Okay, I want to bring Brian O'Keefe of Boyle Sports into the conversation at this point. Brian, good morning to you, and what was it like for the bookies yesterday?
Yeah, it was a bit of a bloodbath for us yesterday, unfortunately. Certainly 1-0 to the punters. The Willie Mullins treble was a big, big liability. I think Lossie Mouth was probably the final nail in the coffin. But the war is not over yet. That was just a battle on day one, and we've still got 3 days to go.
And how's it looking ahead of today? Is action busy?
Yeah, busy again. Punters coming in for the Willie Mullins horses. Of course, you're starting off with a short-priced three-timer again. We've got Ballyburn, we've got El Fabiolo, and sandwiched in between, we've got Stateman. So we'll be looking to get one of those beaten, but I imagine punters will be queuing up to get their travels on again.
Yeah, George, back to you though, because we're doing a charity bet every day, and today is the turn of Tuam Cancer Care.
That's correct, John, and Tuam Cancer Care, those people do wonderful work in the North Galway surrounding area, and I mean, we've lots of people who do fantastic work with cancer throughout the county and throughout the province, but Tuam Cancer Care is this today's chosen charity. Yesterday, unfortunately, for the charity of the National Breast Cancer Research, we came up slightly short. Mystical Power led halfway up the run-in, but unfortunately, the 104-1 disappeared quickly, and with Slade's deal came through and won. But today, I'm going for a bit of a sporting shout. I'm going with number two, and that is San Ra in the Grand Annual Chase. It's one of the toughest handicaps of the week, but I think this horse has been tailor-made for this. The only race that the McManus team and Mullins camp were worried about was today's race. He'll get a hard pace, and number two, San Ra, is my idea of today's charity bet, and I'm going to ask Brian, will he give me 8-1 about San Ra? We'll have 50 each way for Tomb Cancer Care.
Brian, what do you think?
Hit the crossbar yesterday, George, so we'll certainly give you 8-1, and let's hope this one can go one better.
Absolutely brilliant. That race you mentioned there, George, that's not being rescheduled, what kind of effect is that going to have on the different racers and trainers?
It'll have an effect on those who backed so many Irish winners and whatnot, because the Irish were going to win the race anyways. But the Glenfarclas cross-country chase, there's 12 runners. It's probably the weakest betting race of the week, but it's a novelty race. It goes around the inside. For those who just watch racing once a year, it's on the inside course. They jump over varying obstacles of hedges, ditches, rails, so on and so forth, banks. It's back to the old days of the old banks racing in Punchestown. It was innovative when it was brought in a number of years ago, and it is a spectacle that the punters go out onto the track to watch this race, and it is unfortunate for the race owners that have targeted this race number one. But those people who love this type of eventing, it is a wonderful spectacle. It's not a race you will be having a financial interest from my perspective, but it is a wonderful spectacle, and unfortunately it just shows you the way the weather has been across channel, that they've deemed that the inside track is unraceable. The actual track itself rode a lot better than one would have thought yesterday. I don't think it's a soft. The English version of heavy is probably yielding to soft in Ireland. So I'm questioned about that going description. But unfortunately, the cross-country race will not be staged at this year's festival.
Okay. And there's another few days to go of the Cheltenham Festival yet. What's tomorrow and Friday looking like?
Well, the Thursday and Friday, John. We just look at every day. I like a horse already. I've liked this horse for a long while for the Pertemps Handicap Hurdle tomorrow. Tomorrow's chosen charity will be Ability West. But the Stairs Hurdle, it will depend now. A little bit later on today, we'll know more how many the Henderson horse is pulling out. Will he run Shishkin in the Gold Cup on Friday? I don't know. Shishkin started now, and today is Wednesday, John. He wouldn't win the Gold Cup on Friday. So I think they're wasting their time him turning up. But it will be a fantastic spectacle. Once again, the domination of the Irish. And won't it be beautiful, John, to see Brian and his colleagues in Boyle Sports? They won't be peeling onions to bring tears for the race this week. It'll be wonderful to see those bookmakers crying, John.
George McDonough, our racing correspondent, and Brian O'Keefe of Boyle Sports, thank you for joining us on Galway Talk. Still to come on the programme, we'll have our financial advice with Dave McCarthy, Ask the Dentist, and also a lovely story in History Talks. That's all coming up after news.